Let's read together from the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and 4. Behold, I stand at the door and continually knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, restore him, and he with me. He who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the one of God, I will grant to him the privilege to sit beside me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down beside my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. At once I was in special communication with God and with the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. I would like to invite you for a moment just to become aware of the role of doors in your life. Think about it. The door determines your location, where you are at this moment. There are some doors that are closed, and perhaps you want to be on the other side, and it's very frustrating that the door is closed. But on the other side, you could be glad the door is closed, because it gives you privacy and perhaps security, safety. There's a door that's open, and you're so glad you can move through it safely to the other side and you'll meet your friends there. Or you're a bit scared to go through, because I don't know what's on the other side and who's there. Doors are important in our lives. But I want to talk to you about perhaps the most important door of your life. And that's the door of your heart. You've got a heart. It might be more accurate to say that you are a heart. Because your heart is that place inside of you where all your faculties, your abilities unify and come together. It's your essence. It's your core. Your memory, your imagination, your reasoning, your feeling, all your faculties at one place. Now, the wise Solomon said, you've got to guard your heart. Care for your heart. Because that's where life begins for you. It's your wellspring of your whole life. How can you guard something if you don't know what it is or where it is? So you've got to find your heart in order to protect your heart. And I wonder what your heart is like today. You might be heartbroken. You might be very sad. What occupies your heart? To whom have you given your heart? It's very important. It will determine your life. Now, Teresa of Avila had this idea that our heart is something like a castle. And she invited people to think of their hearts as a castle. And there's something very important to wants to share the castle with you, Jesus. And she would ask you to open up the doors of this castle. But once Jesus comes into the castle, you draw up the bridge, the drawbridge, so that you can be there with him, only with him. And then share your life, your heart with him. Your heart is supposed to be his home. And she says that our hearts has a lot of castles. Our castle has a lot of rooms in it. And there are rooms that you haven't heard of. There are doors in your heart that you haven't opened yet. Things that you've discovered in your inner world that you're not aware of. But with Christ, you can go through this whole castle and get to know yourself and get to know Him in the secret place within you. Now, John, when he wrote this book, wrote this letter to Christians who were in deep trouble. It was a time of severe persecution for the church. They were blamed for a lot of things that went wrong in the Roman Empire. They were the scapegoats of everything. John himself was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And he wrote this letter to encourage Christians. He told them some things that were going to happen, and some of it happened, and some of it is happening now, and some of it's going to happen. But his main message to them was not so much about to know what's going to happen. It was a revelation of Christ and of His desire. And here's the bottom line. I think he's saying exactly the same as what Solomon said. That start with the inside. Get your inside world right to face the outside world. John, James, the other disciples that wrote, never got involved in the politics. You know, or whether they should immigrate or not immigrate. They all just focused on Jesus and said, here's the big thing. Open up your heart. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And live your life with Him. Get your inside world right. Your mind and your heart. And you'll be able to face the outside world. So just listen to these words of Jesus. Let's go through it. He knocks. He says, look, I knock at the door. Get this image. See it. He's knocking. You know what? He found you. Do you know what? He knows your address. He was looking for you. And now he knocks at the door. He's got a desire to be with you. First question, why are the doors of our hearts locked? Why is it closed? Perhaps it is because of what happened to you, heartbreak, pain. You had to deal with a severe loss and you can't understand how God could let this happen or why He did it to you. And you just closed. But the more common issue is our busyness. Jesus in Luke 14 tells this parable, and he said that he's having a banquet and he's inviting everybody to come and join in. But the people's got excuses. Sorry, I've just bought a piece of property. Sorry, my business. Sorry, I've got this deal. I'm making money. I'm so busy with that. Now I just bought some oxen. And oxen was something else, you know, it was something to brag about in those days, you know. It was a prestige, you know, what type of oxen do you have? It's like, where do you live? What type of car? You know, what would the people think if they know what type of oxen I have? Sorry, I'm busy with this. I like you, Jesus. I think a lot about you. And in fact, I admire you. But at the moment, I'm just busy. Oh, I just got married. Romance. That's the most important thing. Later on, I'll have some time then. The busyness of our lives. You know, Jesus said in the parable of the sower that the seed will never bear any fruit because of the burdens and the heartaches of life and the desire to make money. It won't bear fruit. So The door is closed. Why? Listen. He's knocking. Jesus says, if you can hear my voice, can you hear his voice? Can you hear the knock on the door? Solomon said, I slept, but my heart was awake. I slept. I was unaware. I was unconscious. But my heart is awake. Listen carefully, deep inside of you. You'll hear something. Listen. My beloved is knocking. Open to me, are the words of the beloved. So how does God speak to us? C.S. Lewis, in one sentence, makes it clear. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. So here's the idea that God comes to us, disguised as our lives. God comes to us through the experience of our lives. If we can reflect and pay attention to what is happening in our life, we might discover that God is busy with us in our lives. It's all a matter of interpretation. We can blame other people for our pain, or we can hear that the pain is an invitation to open up to him. Like the prodigal son, he found his heart in pain. He came to himself and he realized, I'm throwing away my life, the way that I live. And I've given my life, my heart, to things that can't satisfy and to things that eventually will destroy my life. I'll go back to my Father. Can you hear the voice? If you can, open up. But would you open up the door for somebody that you don't really trust? And don't really have a desire to be with that person? If you open up, you've got to discover the beauty, the power, and the strength of Jesus. You've got to change your mind. And that's what John tries to do. Just after he said he's knocking at the door, he said, look, there's another door, a door, and it's open. It's in heaven. And I saw a throne, and one is sitting on the throne. No, that can be confusing. Where is Jesus? Is he knocking at the door of my heart, or is he sitting on the throne? Is he in heaven or is he on earth? Is he with me? Is he in me? In theology, we've got two words that we use to describe this phenomena. It's the immanence and the transcendence of God. He is in us, but he's also far above us. He's also in heaven. And it's important not to think of him in one of those ways, or to develop a spirituality or a theology on one of those big ideas of God, of his nature and of his proximity. He is both. He's both. And we've got to accept it. It's a mystery. We can't understand how he can be both. But it's important. And what John puts our attention to is the fact that God loves us. He is longing for us. He cares for us. But he's also the all-powerful one. And he says, John, that he can open up doors. And nobody can close that door. And when he closes a door, nobody can open that door. And the Hebrew and Aramaic word for that is Alphata. And he says, that is who Christ is. Alphata. The big door opener. Is that what you think of him? Is that what you think of him? Now, it's important. And it's Scott Peck that says that to distinguish what we are and what we are not responsible for in this life is one of the greatest problems of human existence. And there is something that we are in total control of. There's some things that we can influence. There are other things that we have no control over. And sometimes we get caught up in doors that are closed. And we want to open it ourselves. And we can't. And we've got to discern and accept the doors that are closed and go through and accept the doors that God opens up for us. And when he closes a door, there's always another door opening up for us. We've got to be able to see it. Look, he's Al-Fatah and he's at work in your life. But this one door, the door of your heart, can only be opened by you. Salman is a Christian painter and he painted, made a painting of this Jesus knocking on the door. And if you look at that painting closely, you'll notice something very interesting. That Jesus is knocking on the door, but that door has no handle on the outside, only on the inside. And what he's trying to say to us through this painting is that Christ won't come in. He can break that door down, of course, he's God. But he's a gentleman. He has so much respect for you and he created you with a will. And you can make a decision and he will honor it. He's knocking. Only you can open up that door for him to come in. So open up that door. And I remember the first time I opened up the door was with the help of somebody else that said, pray after me. Just say what I'm saying. And I remember words like, I'm so sorry, I ignored you, I left my own life, and you were there for me. Please forgive me. Come into my heart, come into my life. I want to surrender and do life with you. Open up your heart. And then he will come in and he will have a meal with you. Now, in Greek, it's a special word for meal. And the one translation says, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. Because it was a communal meal. It was a feast that you are invited to participate with Christ. And he will do it. And again, it can be a bit confusing. He's writing this to Christians. And isn't Christ in our hearts already because we've invited him in? But Paul prays this prayer in Ephesians 3:17 for Christians again, that Christ might live in them, in their hearts, through faith. The one translation makes it clear and says that Christ might settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. The Weymouth translation. So the idea is not so much that he will come in for the first time, but that he would settle down, that he would make his home. And the Amplified Bible says that he would make his permanent abiding place in your life. What Jesus is after is a friendship. Not just a visitor. He wants to make his permanent abiding. He just don't want to have you to be related to him. He wants a relationship with him. He wants to stay with you, share your whole life with you. Now, and it makes such a difference if you move from a type of relationship where he visits you quite often and you have an experience of his presence every Wednesday or Sunday, and the rest of the time you're so caught up and busy with your own life. No, your consciousness shift. It's like living with somebody. That person is with you in the house. The house is different. The atmosphere is different. Everything is different. If that person is away, it changes. The place changes. You don't have to think about that person. You don't have to talk to that person. That person only has to be there. The connection with that person is intact. And that's what will happen to us. If he comes and he lives with us, and you'll discover new rooms in your heart that you've never known of. I've discovered a room for cats a few years ago. It was actually opened up by the first cat, Freud, and then Pixie, and then Yoda and Soda. I didn't like cats, but suddenly I'm amazed. I love them. And I just wonder how many other rooms are there in my heart that I haven't discovered. He's living with me now, and I want to share every room. There are, of course, some rooms that we'd like to keep locked, the doors, you know, for the bedroom, perhaps, when I leave him out there, the study, the place where I'm using the internet or what I'm busy with there. Open up your whole life. Invite him into every part of your life. So this invitation from John, if I can put it in other words, is, guys, we're living in difficult times. And he even said that it's going to get worse before it gets better. But that's not what's important. What will prepare you for life is your inner world, your life with God. Focus on that. Get your inside world right, your heart, your mind, your thoughts. And your outside world will change, and you'll be able to handle that. Some of us are living from the outside to the inside. We want the oxen, and we want the romance, and we want everything fixed and ready to give us a life. Jesus says, no, life comes from the inside, from your heart. Get your heart right. Some of us, oh, it's got a small inside world and a big outside world. Jesus is inviting us to develop a big inside world so that we can live in the outside world. So I want to ask you, have you found your heart? And what's your heart like? If you have to do an examine on your heart, what's your heart like, the condition of your heart? To whom have you given your heart? Who's living? What's living inside of your heart? Your heart is his home. That's how you create it. And that's the invitation for us to live this way. Now, friends, we've got this custom to give a New Year's blessing every year. And this year we've asked Trevor to do the blessing for us. So let's listen attentively in faith and receive the blessing of the Lord.
As you enter the new year, I want to bless you. I want to bless you that in the joys and sorrows of this coming year, you may receive the gift of faith. The gift of faith to know that you have been desired into existence by a great love that will never, ever let you go. The gift of faith to know that this great love will always be with you through the waters and the rivers, and you will not be overwhelmed. The gift of faith to know that there is nothing in all of creation, nothing in this life or in the next that can ever separate you from this great love in Jesus Christ our Lord. May this gift of faith be born in you, grow in you, and fill your heart and your mind. As you enter this new year, I want to bless you that in the laughter and tears of this coming year, you may receive the gift of hope. The gift of hope to know that the worst thing that happens is never, ever the last thing. The gift of hope to know that even in your darkest moments, you are held safe in the embrace of a great love. The gift of hope to know that the light has come into this world and the darkness can never, ever put it out. May this gift of hope be born in you, grow in you, and may it fill your heart and your mind. As you enter this new year, I want to bless you that in the pleasures and pains of this coming year, you may receive the gift of love. The gift of love to cherish each day every beautiful thing about those closest to you. The gift of love to listen deeply to the human cries around you, especially in your own home, family. The gift of love to share in God's broken, open heart that weeps over the brokenness of God's world. May this gift of love be born in you. May it grow in you and fill your heart and your mind. As you enter this new year, may the Spirit of God blow across your dry bones. May the Spirit of God breathe these blessings that last forever deeply into your life and bring you back again to faith, to hope, and to love. Indeed, bring you back to living once again with a wild, wild joy. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the life that you've given us. And Father, thank you that we can know that you are with us. Al-Fatah, the Almighty, no matter what happens in our world or where we find ourselves, you are with us. Thank you. And thank you that you're filling us with your hope, with your faith, and with your love. In the name of Jesus, amen.